Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Coop and Cassius for IFL TV. Delighted, as always, to be joined by Gareth A. Davies. Monday morning for you.
Yeah.
Well, Gareth, what a week.
Yeah, it was an amazing week in Riyadh. I had 10 days because I had an event in Abu Dhabi as well. So it was amazing 11 days away, Rising Stars Arabia, and then knockout chaos, and that's what we got in the end, knockout chaos. But it was an amazing week indeed, it was, Coogan.
Yeah, very appropriately named in the end, knockout chaos.
Yeah.
It was a brutal knockout from Anthony Joshua. Gareth, I want to start by asking you what your thoughts are about this. Like, we interviewed you as well, spoke to everyone during the week on the ground in Saudi. And there was not a complete opinion, but almost like a split opinion about how Joshua would win this fight, how hard it was going to be for Joshua, etc. Mm. Johnny Nelson, I'll say the culprit of the comments, saying that Joshua, in that interview with you, saying that he would not knock Francis Ngannou out. Now, because he dispatched of him in such emphatic fashion, over the last couple of days, I've been seeing comments saying, well, you know, that was meant to happen and that's what he's supposed to do and that was what Tyson Fury was meant to do, and like Ngannou's a novice. And they're almost trying to take a little bit back away from the win. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, it wasn't just knockout chaos in the end. It was knockout statement. And he couldn't have underlined and emboldened a statement any more than he did. I mean, as I've said, under Ben Davison, he seems rejuvenated, reinvigorated. There's a great alliance there between the two. And I think Joshua believes in his game plan. I think you have to take nothing away from Anthony Joshua in this performance. It was phenomenal. You can make all the cases about Francis Ngannou being a novice. And if you look at the build-up, I think many of us, myself included, said that Joshua needed to hit him early and dominate and not let Francis get into the fight. And that's what he did. I mean, Francis was trying to make some shapes in the first round, but he switched southpaw, which was a massive mistake, really, against Joshua straight away. And it allowed that right down the pike straight away. And I don't think he ever recovered from it. He felt Joshua's power. I don't think he was ever going to be as hit as hard in a boxing match by anyone but Joshua anyway. You know, Joshua, like I say, it's statement time from him. It was a brilliant performance. He carried himself brilliantly all week, totally focused the entire time. Got to interview him just before the press conference and he seemed in great fettle. The team seemed in great shape around him, very, very confident. There were four outcomes for me and I couldn't pick one. I went to actually, my pick in the end was Joshua by late stoppage. But I also saw four outcomes. Ngannou landing a blow at some point in the fight and unseating Joshua. Joshua winning on points or Joshua winning early. I'm sorry, I had four different ways I could see it going, but based on what Ngannou had done against Fury, or what Fury hadn't done against Ngannou, you went through the algorithms of the fight, and it was possible to have all those picks. But I think the thing is about Joshua, We judge so much on every little thing, like his tentativeness, for example. Yes, Ngannou is a novice as well. And Joshua employed very good feints, boxing skills. He hits incredibly hard. I've always said it. When he finishes, he's as good a finisher, if not better at times, than Lennox Lewis was as a finisher. He destroys opponents. He's so powerful. He looked in phenomenal shape. And you have to take your hat off to him. He's really back. And many people now fancy him to beat Usyk in a third fight. He got very close the second time. And the prospect of a fight with Fury, who's obviously a very different type of fighter to anyone else that Joshua's fought. He's very evasive. He ties you up. He's very, very clever. It just makes the prospect of the Joshua Fury fight enormous. And in some ways, it's a pity we may have to wait a year to see that fight.
Yeah, absolutely, because of the requirements, obviously, of the potential two fights between Fury and Usyk. Yes, that could delay until, I think, optimistically, the best case scenario, we could see that fight at the back end of 2024. That's being very optimistic.
Unless... Look, there's a lot, it could go a lot of ways. If Fury is beaten by Usyk, Usyk might say, right, that's it. But I think he'll fancy a third fight with Joshua. He may say that's it and walk away, because what else has he got to achieve in the era? And he could leave Fury hanging if he wants to. But would the lure of another $50 million or whatever he's earning for the second fight, would that be too much for him not to want a second fight? But he could leave the whole of the division hanging by beating Fury once and just walking away. And he's become the king of the era, hasn't he? But I also wonder whether, you know, if Fury beats Usyk, whether there'll be this desire to get... I mean, the biggest fight now, if Fury beats Usyk, is Fury and Joshua to open the Riyadh season in 2024, isn't it? I mean, it's enormous.
I mean, it's an argument if, depending on how, if Usyk was to beat Fury, there's an argument that the bigger fight still is AJ and Fury. No?
If Fury were to beat Usyk?
No, if Usyk was to beat Tyson Fury on May the 18th, there is an argument that the bigger fight is still AJ and Fury.
Not really, because if Usyk beats him, maybe, yeah, maybe.
I mean, if Usyk was to beat Tyson Fury, okay,
yeah,
depending on the method of win, obviously there's a lot of things I'm saying, but there's an argument that we still would want to see AJ Fury ahead of a third fight with Usyk and AJ.
Yeah, or even ahead of a second fight with between Fury and Usyk. I agree. I mean, there could be, but in many ways, Fury would want to. I'm sure Fury would want to avenge defeat.
Absolutely. Against
Usyk, depending on the manner of defeat. As I said all along, I still think I believe Fury will beat Usyk. A very good Fury will beat a very good Usyk in a very tight encounter, in my view. And it just depends. I think the way things are with His Excellency Turki Alşaker as well, he wants the biggest fights as soon as possible. And if he sees Fury and Joshua as the biggest fight, if Fury beats Usyk, they may well press for that and say, you can wait out Usyk and fight the winner. But who knows? I mean, we're talking about headaches, but good ones now. We had headaches, but bad ones 8 months ago. Now it's very, very different. And it's very, very exciting as well. The division is alive. Boxing's alive. I just love the prospect of, I don't know how many overseas fans are traveling to Riyadh for May the 18th. And maybe staying out for Better Be of some of them and Bivol, which we probably will do. I don't know if we'll come back and go back again. I don't know what your intention is, but may well end up spending a fortnight out there if possible.
Yeah, I think there's a week gap in between those shows. So maybe a little trip to either Dubai or Bahrain or anywhere else
Well, as long as I'm your guest, I'll come.
Absolutely. But look, I think you make a good point there about kind of, you're talking about Turkey and Al-Sheikh, about the call, first of all, for Tyson and Ngannou. If you look back to pre-Tyson and Ngannou, where everyone was saying, oh, this is going to be a mismatch, and why is this fight happening, et cetera, et cetera. And then Ngannou does put in a good performance against a very under-par Tyson Fury. I mean, that's obvious to say that that was an under-par Tyson Fury. Not just because of what Joshua had done, but just because we knew that that was Tyson Fury possibly overlooking that situation. But then to put Ngannou now in the mix created this whole situation of knockout chaos where people are questioning, well, hang on a minute, he performed that well. Some people think he beat Fury, put him in with Anthony Joshua. That whole last 3 months, I think, was quite valid and important in this whole heavyweight mix. Now, the Ngannou situation is kind of put to one side for the moment. Whether he fights again in boxing is whatever. But now we are going to see Fury Usyk, and we see the potential of kind of, whether it's a second fight with Usyk or Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, we're kind of seeing that that could happen this year.
And what's the question?
No, I'm making a statement.
I'm teasing you. Yeah, yeah. Look, the point is, and here's another thing that's going on, which we weren't getting in the past. We didn't have Deontay Wilder at Anthony Joshua's fights. We didn't have Anthony Joshua at Tyson Fury's fights. We didn't have Tyson Fury at the others' fights. What the storyline, the circus, the narrative, whatever you want to call it, is brilliant. Having Eddie Hearn, Frank Warren, Tyson Fury, his team, and His Excellency, the Minister, all sitting there in the front row while this is going on, because you get the reaction as well. You get Tyson Fury working on TV around this. So you get a bigger narrative. You get the, and I think that's changed things as well. That's one of the reasons why the fights weren't happening, because when these guys are together, it lights a fire under their fights about to happen. The fact they're all in the same room, in fact, literally, weren't they? Not metaphorically, they were in the same room Tuesday night, I think it was, in Riyadh. Anthony Joshua telling us the story about being there, and he wasn't in the room when Tyson Fury was giving it to Francis Ngannou, who gave it back at the press conference the next day, and Fury's barracking Ngannou from the front row seats at the press conference. And then, you know, there's Fury and Joshua didn't speak at all, which adds to the drama. Didn't even shake hands, apparently. Yet they're all, you know, iconically photographed together with His Excellency, wherever it was on his farm or wherever it was that night in Riyadh. It all adds to the picture. And I think, as I urged last year, please be patient. When Frank Warren said it was a game changer, I know that you're catching up with him this week. There is a game changer. The sport has entirely changed. When heavyweight boxing is strong, the rest of boxing is strong. It's a great time at the moment. It's such an honour and a privilege to be involved and be witnessing all these things from a couple of seats away from the action.
We broke that story, by the way, Gareth, just to let you know.
I beg your pardon?
The altercation between Ngannou and Fury at His Excellency's house or wherever it was. Andy Lee revealed to us the night it happened. Exactly. That's where the story first came from, because I spoke to Eddie Hearn about it, and Eddie Hearn was like, we weren't going to say anything because we thought kind of it happened and et cetera, et cetera. But Andy Lee kind of revealed the ins and outs of that. He also revealed that Joshua and Fury didn't speak that night. And that since then, Joshua has kind of spoken about it and said that, no, we didn't talk, which is a bit weird because they had a photo taken next to like Ronaldo and Ngannou and Turkey Al-Sheikh. And it was like, what, you didn't talk? Because I kept saying to Joshua and Fury, what, you were standing there next to each other, but you didn't acknowledge each other or didn't talk? No.
Couple of things. They clearly deeply respect each other. They know that they're lions in the jungle circling each other. That there will be there will be a big, big fistic row coming. They both prepared for that in my mind. They are both preparing for that. I love the fact that Tyson Fury was cheering Anthony Joshua on from ringside. There's footage of that. You know, that he knows now that he's got to be at his very best for Usyk, and he'll have to be at his very best for Anthony Joshua. It's amazing how the pendulum swings. I still favour Fury against Joshua, but this Joshua is back to the destructive force that he believes he should be, that he should be, what he is naturally as a fighter. But he's showing mature abilities. He was very composed. He's very composed as he walked off, even after poleaxing Nagano with that third knockdown in the second round. It was so emphatic, as you use it, you know, rightly said at the top of the interview. I get it that they didn't speak. I get it that there's a wall between them at the moment, and it's really good for them both, because it's going to be the battle of the titans when these two meet. It really is, and I do hope we get it. But the fact that Fury was cheering Joshua on is a good sign as well for me.
You say that, Gareth. I mean, we talk about kind of the Tyson Fury of ringside, obviously applauding Joshua's win, speaking to them both after the fight. It seemed to paint a little bit of a different picture, more so on Joshua's perspective. I don't know if you saw my interview with him, but I asked him about, you know, Tyson Fury being there and obviously applauding him. His response was, fuck Tyson Fury. Joshua had some comments that very Fury-esque had made. I mean, I'm not going to take too much notice of it. I haven't seen the comments, but he said apparently that, oh, you know, I'm coming to commentate on these two sausages. I mean, that's a very Tyson Fury comment. But Joshua obviously had taken kind of something to that. But listen, like you said, they have got respect for each other, regardless
clearly
of whatever they say.
Clearly. Yeah, I mean, I've seen all of it. I've watched all of the fallout and all the things that have been said. They're going to say different things, but deep down, my feeling is they respect each other. And if they don't, then they're making a big mistake. Joshua is back to what he ought to be. Tyson Fury is going to show us against Usyk, I suspect, what he still has left in the tank. As we both know, he was in phenomenal shape going into the Usyk fight with the injury, the eye cut, the cut eye 2 weeks before. We are getting the best fights of the era now, and these giants, as they are, giant human beings, are looking to they know that that we're reaching the final point in the division, that the number ones will emerge, and it may need Joshua and Fury to fight twice for it to play out properly. So it might well take us to the end of 2025 to get the resolution in the era, who deserves to be number one and number two or number three. You know, my understanding is that I was with Agit Kabayel on Friday night as well. He's got a fight lined up. Danny Dubois got a fight lined up. I believe Wilder's coming back. He's got a fight lined up. I think Dubois is lined up. I think they're all going to fight before the summer heat is too much for there to be events in Saudi. I mean, I think 1st of June is the last one, isn't it, in this sequence. So I'm expecting two very, very big cards to finish the year. Finish the season with the Saudi Arabians. And by then, we'll have had five events, which will have transformed boxing.
I've got a question for you. Why do you call him Nagano?
Oh, I probably... Am I pronouncing his name wrong?
Well, Nagano. I don't know. I thought... Well, we pronounce it as in we, as in I've never heard him be called in Nagano. I thought it was Nganu.
Nganu, then. Okay, semantics, yeah.
I thought you knew that. That's why you were calling him Nagano.
Nganu. There you go. How's that?
That's actually asking.
I'm just going out for a brisk walk in the in the brisk weather this morning as well. Yeah, I tell you what, it's no fun coming back to grey and cold, is it? After that weather, they have.
Well, I'm still in the Middle East, so.
Oh, are you okay? Good for you,
Gareth. Just got a couple of things left here because I've got Frank Warren who's going to shortly come on, but do need to ask you about Joseph Parker. Survived two knockdowns from Zhilei Zhang.
Zhilei Zhang, you mean?
Oh, you can. Zhilei
Zhang.
What does that mean?
I said, you don't speak Chinese, do you?
Clearly not. But yeah, Joseph Parker has had a tremendous couple of months with big wins against big hitters, like two of the most powerful punchers in the weight, in Wilder and Zhang, and he's overcome both of them, two wins on the bounce. And it'll be interesting to see Parker's path now, because obviously he's now mandatory for Usyk's WBO belt. We know the situation's kind of tied up for the immediate future. But Parker's there. Parker's a revived Parker. He's bang in the middle of it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, the problem for Parker, I think I've asked him before, is he won't fight Tyson Fury. They're too close. And that's always a shame. He's definitely in the mix. I scored it a draw in the end, by the way. But, you know, he came back in the fight in the last four rounds very, very strongly. I thought Zhang was winning the early rounds, closing him down to the two knockdowns, obviously. I thought Zhang, I don't understand why Zhang barely threw a punch in the last three rounds. I do get the picture in his own mind that he said that he thought he was ahead on points. But Parker did a brilliant job coming back from those two knockdowns. You rightly said, when his nose got busted in the third, I think it was the third or the fourth one. He was down in the fourth and the eighth, I think, wasn't he? Or the third and the eighth. I'll have to look over my notes to recall it correctly. But it was an amazing comeback in the fight. His resilience was extraordinary. And Zhang definitely does slow down. Well, we've seen it historically in his career. It was a close fight. They're a two-fight deal, remember, so they'll fight again. It's a really good fight to have again. Parker against Usyk, I'd love to see. Zhang against Usyk, I'd love to see. So, again, it sets up a great prospect. I know you've got Frank in a minute. Can I just say as well, I thought Nick Ball won against Ray Vargas, 114, 112, I had it. I thought he lost the first five or six rounds, and then he had the two knockdowns. And I thought he ran away with all the other rounds. And I think what he'll learn in the second fight, which I'm sure they'll have if they can get it over the line, is not to smother his work quite so much. It was a fight of two halves and two heights, wasn't it, in many ways? But I thought he did a great job in there. I think he was unlucky not to win. But I think he'll beat Ray Vargas in the second fight. And he'll just stand back a little more and work not so, because they tied up too much. But Vargas was clearly fatigued by the halfway point. And even though he was able to slash at Ball from distance and go to the stomach, he never, ever got him off him. He was relentless. It was a great performance by Nick Ball, in my view.
Absolutely. I haven't re-watched it, but my thoughts on the night was I thought that Nick Ball, especially with the knockdowns, did enough to make that fight. And whether there's a rematch or not, we don't know. I mean, it's not, unless it's ordered, or obviously the promoters see sense to kind of put that back on. We don't know if that rematch is going to happen. I hope it does for Nick Ball's sake. Nick Ball definitely deserves a rematch against Vargas, so we shall wait and see what happens. Gareth, I am very sorry. I do need to leave you because I need to jump on this with Frank Warren. But yeah, we'll catch up again at some point over the next week or so. But good to see you in Saudi as always.
Pleasure as always, Coogan. Go make it sing, baby.
Thank you very much, Gareth A. Davies, the best correspondent.
Sports Social Podcast Network.